I'll read a few verses, then I want to go back in the chapter a little bit and point out a few things. Let's start with verse 25. Then I'm going back and before this. And at midnight, this is 16th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and prisoners heard them. Now, they had been whipped, 40 stripes minus one, because they were tearing up the devil's playhouse, you know. And they put them in the jailhouse and chained them to the stocks. Bands around their legs and chains to them. So they're in the jail. So at midnight, they prayed. And then they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open. And every man's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, wakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, had to been a good time, midnight, dark, for prisoners to escape, but they couldn't escape. They could not escape. God sent an earthquake and shook that jailhouse, and all the doors opened. Everyone standing there free. But they couldn't escape. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Here's what he said, brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Now, I'm going to stop that right there. But let's go back farther back in the chapter. Go back to verse 6, 16 chapter. The Apostle Paul was about to get out of the will of God. Notice what it says. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, they'd have went to Asia, but the Holy Ghost throwed a red light on him, brother, like you pull up at a stoplight, and wouldn't let him go. Later on, they sent him to Asia. You remember in the 20th chapter, he talks about getting the elders together when he's on the way back to Jerusalem, called them over to Miletus, told them how that he'd preached the word of God when he was with them beforehand, and how that he'd warned them 3 years with tears, night and day, against the people that would rise from the inside or those that come in from the outside. And brother, he taught them from house to house and taught them publicly. He was a soul winner. And he said, "I can take you to the books. I'm free from the blood of all men in that city." Now, there at this time, the Holy Ghost of God wouldn't let him go. It wasn't time for Paul to go there then. Now, notice. After they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, well, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly that the gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them that were in Macedonia. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia. In a colony, we were in a colony of were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto women which resorted thither. Now, let me stop right there and let's pray. Father, bless the word. Speak to hearts tonight, we pray. And we'll thank you for it in the blessed, holy, and precious name of Jesus Christ. If there's any here tonight that are not saved, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will finger around their hearts. Show them how they need to be born again. And now, God, put your power and your liberty into service tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, I want to mention, by way of introduction, there are three prayer meetings in this chapter. Three times, notice, when people go to pray. Churches go to praying. Mothers and daddies go to praying for children. And on you could go. Something happens. God goes to moving. I remember when I started the last church, I called a prayer meeting 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, just the men. There'd be 6 or 7 of us. We'd pray. Oh, we'd pray about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour. Then we'd go up to Hardy's and eat breakfast, go back home, get ready to come to church. That went on a little while. Wasn't long till God began to get a hold of folks. The old drunken man, I witnessed to him. And he had several children, 6 or 8 children, part of them lost. About 25 grandchildren, a lot of them were lost. His wife was lost. He was lost. He said, "Preacher, I've been a drunk for 41 years. And so he never went to church any. Nobody didn't never know him, Mr. St. John or Mr. Little John going to the house of God. So I invited him. He said, "I can't come Sunday. I'll try to be there Sunday week." I said, "All right, I'm going to look for you." Sunday week come, he didn't come. We had another prayer meeting. We prayed every Sunday morning. Of course, we prayed every night before preaching. And I think after the morning service, between that and preaching. And God had begun to move. So I visited him again. He said, "I couldn't come then." I said, I'll be there. I'll try to be there. I said, "All right, I'm going to look for you." That Sunday morning, he came in with a clean sports shirt on, clean pair of pants, Bible in his hand, about like a family Bible, under his arm. Came in the front door. He said, "You didn't expect me to come, did you?" I said, "Well, I didn't give up on you. I was looking for you." He came, and I preached. He said, "I'll see you tonight." He came with that Bible. That night I preached again. He said, "I'll see you next Sunday morning." And the next Sunday morning we had another prayer meeting like that and prayed on Sunday night. And the next Sunday morning he came and brought his one of his children, I believe it was, with him. And his wife came with him. That morning he raised that hand for prayer before I prayed. I said, "Any lost sin you want to be remembering prayer?" That hand went up that gap. That night he said, "Well, when he went out, he said, I enjoyed that preaching. I'll see you tonight." I said, "All right, I'm looking for you." He came that night and brought the youngest daughter with him. I preached the gospel to him that night, brother. Power of God got a hold of that old drunk's heart, boy, and he come walking down the aisle. Amen. And fell down on his knees and got saved. You know what he told me? He said, "I've been a drunk 41 years. And his sister-in-law said, "Something's happened. We never seen Little John in church in our life. He's a drunk." I said, and he lived in a mobile home. It wasn't a nice one. I said, "You've probably drunk enough liquor to pay for a 5 or 6 room brick house." He said, "More than that, preacher." I said, "The old saying is, not to float a battleship." He said, "Just about." He come down that aisle as humble as a lamb. You say, "Preacher, what got a hold of him?" I know the Holy Ghost used preaching of the gospel. But I'll tell you, they 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 men fell on their knees a-crying and a-begging God across the front of that church. Amen. On Sunday morning. He wasn't the only one. The next Sunday, and I told him in the home, I said, do you ever think about if old granddad would get his heart right with God, God may talk to some of them children, and if old granddad would get his heart right with God, God may go talk to some of them grand youngins of yours. I talked to him just like a countryman. He said, never thought much about it. But the second Sunday, brother, one of his grandchildren got saved. And God got his children, and God got some of his grandchildren, and got some of his in-laws, sister, daughter-in-laws, and son-in-laws right with God. Yeah. Why? Amen. Prayer meetings, brother. Praying. Amen. When they went down to Antioch over the persecution of Stephen, you know what he said? And the arm of the Lord was with them, and a great number got saved. When people go to praying and bring them before God, just a little later, about 6 months or a year later, this Mr. Little John, his son-in-law or his brother-in-law got saved. And he had a heart attack, and I visited him. And it shook him up. We invited him to the house of God. He didn't come. Wasn't long, he had another heart attack. We visited him. And we was praying for him. He started coming. He was in the hospital. We visited him. And he said, why'd you come to see me? I said, God laid on my heart to come see you. Now, I'll get back to this text in a minute. We got him to come in. And he came a while. Dropped out. Then God touched his heart again. We got him to come in again. And he came. He stayed in there. And he came about 3 Sundays in a row. He came down that aisle and got saved. You know what he said? Join the church and I baptize them, both of them. He said, preacher, I spent a whole lot of money in booze. I said, you have. Didn't nobody know it. You never see him drunk. He run a frame shop, making chair frames for chairs where he could upholster and make nice furniture. He said, I drink $50 a week in booze for 31 years. 31 years. I said, that's more money than you could spend for you and your wife for shoes a year. He said, more than that. I said, how about groceries? He said, more than that. I said, that much money would go a long ways in supporting some missionaries, wouldn't it? Yeah. You say, what got them, preacher? When people go to praying, brother, they had a prayer meeting by the riverside, and God opened Lydia's heart, and she got saved. And she wanted them, got baptized, her and the family, they got saved, and she wanted them to stay at her house. If you found me faithful, come and stay at my house. So Paul and Silas, they'd go out of there and go to prayer every morning. And a little soothsayer, you know what that is, that's a fortune teller, had a spirit of divination in her heart. She followed Paul, and she said, these are men of the Most High God. They explained to us the way of salvation. And Paul, being grieved, one day, and he turned and rebuked the devil in her, and come out of her. The devil came out in the name of Jesus Christ, and she got saved. Yeah. And then when he was put in jail and beaten, then and prayed and sang praises unto God, the old Philippian jailer came in, fell on his knees under Holy Ghost conviction, brother, saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why? They prayed and Satan praises unto God. When people get on praying ground and singing and right of God, God will do something. I go in churches, some of them, I hate to say it, some cold as a hound dog's nose, dry as last year's bird's nest. I pray, and seek God and preach His Word and try to get them fired up a little. Yeah. You know what it takes? When some people lay before God. Lay before God. Old Brother Wilbur Hurt, when he went to Greenville, Indiana, Josh Harjo, the Indian from Oklahoma, told me, he said, I thought they were going to starve him to death and freeze him out. Great big old cold house. I said, not Wilbur Hurt. Bill Goosby and I was out there together in a Bible conference from Thursday through Sunday. We had about 12 saved. Sunday before that, he said, you know how much offering was last Sunday? I said, what? He said, $755. Said, that's most we've had since I've been here. Amen. Had just a few people. Said it couldn't go any farther towards the road. The little old frame church was out next to the road. And he asked me, he said, preacher, can you preach crooked? I said, what do you mean? He said, come on. Went over there and he couldn't build that way, so he built a part of my older, built a, another section big as this part, went this way out towards the parking lot. I said, I don't know, let me see. I got up there like this, boy, and then I come down like this. I said, yeah, this will work. Me and old brother Bill Goosey, one of us preached first and the other in second, then tomorrow night, that the one's last preached first. We preached Thursday night, from Sunday night through Thursday night, and Brother Hurt said, Brother Bill, said, you preach tonight, close it out. I got to take Brother, said, I got to take Brother Billy Gooseby back to Indiana. Said, then he come forward and said, Zach Peel will help you. Lead him to the Lord. I said, all right, we'll take care of it. So that night, I don't know, there's two or three came forward. The next day, I stayed with him through Sunday. Sunday evening, he said, Brother Schaffner, said, how much do you think the offering was today? Sunday before, $7.55. I said, I don't know. I said, probably $700-$800. He said, $1,385 today. Said, that's not counting what we took up for the preacher. We had 12 saved. People were coming. He said, you know what got this thing rolling, Brother Bill? I said, what? Tell me about it. He said, man, said, it's cold in here and nobody are coming, a few people. And said, the Lord began to move. Said, I got a few people to meet with me on Saturday night. We prayed all night long on Saturday night. Every Saturday night till God moved in the thing, brother. And when we went there was 12 saved in it from Thursday night through Sunday night. $1,385 offering. And he went to rolling. He went in evangelism, as in February. He went in evangelism in September, and Bill Gooseby took it, and Bill had to build another auditorium. He built one seat about 350-400. That's right. And if you see the same church now, his funeral was preached in that, Brother Hertz. And Brother Randy Parker, they had to buy land out of town, build a great fine building. Why did it all come like that? A man got on his knees and some men met him on Saturday night. They prayed all night long. He came to Community Baptist Church in Hickory. He said, Brother Bill, you may have to do like we did up there. Pray till God puts his arm or puts his hand on this thing like he did the church down at Antioch. The arm of the Lord was with him. He said, people want to get them saved. Want to get them saved. A lot of churches don't pay the price. I know where the church right now, they've seen a little bit of the Spirit of moving, a few people crying a little, testifying a little, but not seeing anybody saved. They wonder, they're waiting for a great big revival. I've seen them do that, and people don't get saved. They had three prayer meetings here, brother. Somebody got saved at every one of them. Paul approached to, spoke to the ladies. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. She got saved. Family got saved. They all got baptized. I mean, a religious folk. Lady attends a prayer meeting ladies' prayer meeting by the riverside. Got saved. Damsel, fortune teller, possessed with a demon. She got saved. They're going to a prayer meeting, brother, and he rebuked the devil. And it came out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. They had a prayer meeting in the jailhouse, and the jailer got saved in his household. He asked the question. Now, let's get back to the question. There's four things tonight. Three things involved in you getting saved. And then the fourth one is the results of you getting saved. It'll work. It'll work. Let me give them to you. First one is, I call it the reproving. That means Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. You remember what Jesus said in John 16:7, I believe it is. Nevertheless, I say the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I pray and he will send you another Comforter. And when he is come, he will reprove. There's the word. Reprove. The world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because you believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, that's the devil, is, present tense verb, is judged. And when you read when he puts him in the lake of fire in Revelation 20 and verse 10, he's not judged there. That judgment is back here in John. You say, how could he do it? I don't know. That's his business. He just said it, I preach it, and I believe it. Amen? Amen. So the reproving, that's old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Now listen, here's the thing of it. You've got to have some of that for folks see themselves lost. If a church member comes to the front, or comes to the altar and wants to get saved, the first thing you've got to do, if they don't see it, get them to see themselves lost. If they don't see themselves lost, they'll never get saved. Luke 19:10. If you don't know it, can't say it, underline it. For the Son of Man, that's Christ, is come. That means he was somewhere before he got here. He was in heaven, according to John 17. He said, now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had thee before the world was. So, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know why it's so hard to get Lutherans, Catholics, and all these religious folks? They've got enough of religion to send them to hell. Amen. And it's so hard to get them to where they're set under preaching till they can see themselves lost. I preached to a lost Lutheran lady. I mean, she's brought up in Lutheranism. And in fact, she was my boy. They were in school together. My boy and you have, we failed not to go with a lost person, not to marry one. He came by our bedside one night. He said, Mama, Daddy, said, I won't tell y'all something. Said, Nancy and I haven't seen one another. I said, but I want you to know. She's not saved, but I told her, I said, I'm not going to marry you. You're not going to marry me till you get saved. You don't walk down that aisle for Roger Shelton. Amen. She wanted him to bring her to the house of God. He said, I'm not going to get her. I said, why? You're going to have to get her out of the gospel, get her saved. Said, yeah, but if I do and she gets saved, then her mom and dad is going to always blame me. Said, let her come on her own if she wants to come. So she started coming on her own. And she came on her own. And I preached to her 6 months, brother. 6 months. I'd have evangelists in, and we'd get other Lutherans in and so forth. As you see, in Hickory, North Carolina, there were 17 big Lutheran churches and a big Lutheran college in Hickory in the suburban area around Hickory. 18 Baptist churches. Son, there's about six of one, half a dozen other comparing them with Catholics. And she'd come and just sit there. So I smacked it one Sunday morning. I said, well, them preachers don't give no invitation. I'm going to smack that thing one Sunday morning. I said, I wouldn't go as far as you could throw a big bull with a tail to hear a preacher that claims to preach and won't give folks an invitation to come down the aisle and get saved. I laid her on the line, son. I went back out to the house and she's out there eating dinner. She said, you know, she said, I don't like to go and hear them. They don't give an invitation. I said, well, they're getting somewhere now. She just kept coming. I said, let her sit there. I'd have evangelists in. What's wrong? Something wrong with this church. A lot of people coming and sitting there. I said, you deal with Lutheran folks. I said, you just leave them alone and let them sit there and let the gospel hammer down and the plow will get them, brother. Gospel plow will get him if he'll sit under my preaching. I don't care if he's a Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Catholic, Lutheran, bless God, or a hypocrite. When I'm preaching, I tell them, come on here, sit right down here, and I'm going to load their wagon, honey. Amen. They came when Jesus preached, and they came when Matthew threw the feast after he got saved and invited Jesus. There was the Pharisees and all of them. Why, Jesus ate with sinners. Wondered about that. So if they come to the house of God, hey, I just let them sit there. They're not going to join the church of our pastor till they get born again and get baptized. So after about 6 months, and them ladies in the church said, Miss Schaffner, said, when she comes down that aisle, said, we want you to deal with her. She got that Lutheran religion. My wife here said, I deal with it. And I preached when my wife was back in the nursery and had a picture window, a big clear glass, and she was sitting down the left side one Sunday. Next Sunday, that night she was there again. Next Sunday morning, she's there every service. And one Sunday morning, I preached, and I give an invitation. I said, how many in here know you're saved? They showed their hand. I said, any in here that are not saved and you like to lift your hand for prayer? I saw that hand of her. It was bad luck here. That's as far as she'd raise it, afraid somebody'd see it again. I saw it. I told my wife, I said, I said, when she done that, I said, Lord, I just said to myself, I said, Lord, we're not ready yet. That Sunday night I preached, the next Sunday morning I went on again. I preached again, and I gave that invitation the same way. And before it did, that hand come up like here. I said, Lord, we're still not ready yet. Don't look like we're ready yet. So the next Sunday morning, she was in there again. Son, and I got wound, the Holy Ghost got on me just right, son. I was preaching the gospel, and that Sunday morning, I said, Lord, we're ready to do business now. I give that invitation, boy, and here she come out, down there, and come down this aisle like this. And my wife come down the center aisle, and they went down on her knees that altar together. And she got born again. I'll tell you something. This gospel will get that old lost religious crowd too. Amen. It may take a little while to do it, son. What about the Apostle Paul? He said, I live the most straightest sect of religion, and that a Pharisee. That a Pharisee. What about old Nicodemus? He was lost as Hogan's goat, brother, as the old saying is. He was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was a master in Israel. That means a teacher trying to teach the Bible. And lost. And slipped over there that night. Don't say he come because it's too far of so far. No. You read the scripture. He was over there that day looking at Jesus when he performed miracles like a hawk watching a chicken. If you don't think he was, bless God, read John 3. Real careful. And you know what it says? He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these, T-H-E-S-E, these miracles. And Jesus had not performed but one miracle. He turned the water to wine in Cana of Galilee, went right on down to Capernaum, and up to Jerusalem. In the feast days, he's there 7 days, performing miracles, healing sick. So forth. You want me to tell you where old Nicodemus was? You say, somebody tell him, no. That self-righteous, lost religious Jew, he wouldn't took nobody's word. He was out there that day in the crowd, watching him like a hawk watching a chicken. And Jesus knew it. And when he come in that night, here's another reason. Jesus had all the patience in the world if anybody wanted to get saved. But you know what he said to him? He loaded his wagon the first time. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't think that's loading his wagon, you read it. How do you know about these miracles? Hadn't been but one performed till he come to Jerusalem. Oh, he had to be there that day. Yeah. Well, let's get to the next thing. Reproving. Here's the next one. And that's repenting. You cannot get saved without repenting. I had a pastor one time. He said, you don't have to repent. Just breathe. You know what I think? I kind of think he was lost. I think he lost. You looking at one and believe in the old-fashioned repentance. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction and then repentance. I'm not trying to measure how many tears you shed. That's not it. But repentance is turning to God in godly sorrow. Let's open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And let's see what the Bible says. I think it gives it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. If you got the right kind of a Bible, it's 12:135. I got Scofield Bible, that's what he said. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I used to read about old Judas Iscariot. When he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself, but not his sins. That's like a little boy playing hooky from school. And he got caught. And he was sorry of the fact he got caught, but he wasn't sorry of the fact he broke the rule of the school. You see, real Holy Ghost Bible repentance is to repent of your sin and godly sorrow. And that'll turn you to Christ in salvation. So, repentance. Man has to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Remember what Simon Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, after the lame man had healed. And was healed at the beautiful gate of the temple, and it came together, and he rose and preached. Didn't say he preached a great long message, but he gave them the invitation in Acts 3:19. He said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshments come from the presence of the Lord. And you know how many got saved? If you read in Acts 4, about the 4th and 5th, 6th verse. Howbeit, the number of men that believed at eventide were about, 5,000. Pretty good preaching and invitation, isn't it? 120 in the upper room, 3,000 on Pentecost, 5,000 there, that's 8,120. That church was growing fast. Holy Ghost Bible preaching. Preaching on repentance. Repent of your sin before God. Paul preached at Ephesus. He said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's notice the third thing. That's faith. That's receiving the Lord. That's believing the Lord. Now he doesn't let you repent in godly sorrow. And like you say, you can't believe him and get saved without repentance. You can't repent and get saved without trusting Christ.
Amen.
It goes together.
Yes, sir.
I like to think of it as the repentance is a negative part when you get rid of the sin. But the positive is the faith part that you reach up and get Christ and he comes in. So repentance of your sin, the blood of Christ will wash away your sin. But then when you receive him at the same time through faith, and he comes in and takes up the abode in your heart. If you made a false profession and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. You're going to hell. That's the way it is. I made one when I was 12 years old, but I got saved 3 years later. If you'd have told me that night you're going to get saved, and I said, you don't know what you're talking about. But buddy, I got saved that night. That preacher got wound. He got wound, boy. Man, the Holy Ghost convicted me. Yeah. My mama came back to me that night. Man, I was sitting with on a 14-foot pew full of young people. 15 years old. She looked at me and said, Billy, are you a Christian? I cut my eye out the corner. I said, yeah. She said, well, one day, tears run down her cheeks. I don't rule this out. I don't go through folks unless God would leave me. But my mama came to me. And if she'd have been a hypocrite, it wouldn't have had no bearing on me. But I knew how she lived. She done the cooking, the washing, the ironing for us. She'd call us up on Sunday morning. Children, get up. Time to go to church. And she led me to the Lord that night. She turned and she said, well, one day I'm going to be in heaven. I'd like for all the family circle be there. Like for it not to be broken. She didn't get sat down before I met you in that pew. Boy, I come out of there. I was like Oliver B. Green. I didn't know much. But I knew if Jesus didn't save me, I'd die and go to hell. And I cried out and called on him and asked him to come in my heart and have mercy on me, forgive me and save me. And like old Dr. Oliver Green said, he said, I don't know what all happened, said, but I know something happened about 6 inches below my collarbone.
Amen.
I got born again. I got in. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, in John 1:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen to what he said, John the Baptist said in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. You can't get saved without seeing yourself lost. You cannot get saved without repenting of your sin. And you cannot get saved without receiving Jesus Christ through faith at the same time. That's three things. The Philippian jailer got saved in his house that night. And he took Paul and Silas. I mentioned three things. The fourth one, he took them out of there and took them and bathed their stripes. Picture that old jailer said, here, fellas. Said, and you know, 39 licks with a cat of tail. He'd cut grooves in their back. They'd bleed. He said, let me bathe your back. And Paul spoke the word of God to his family. They got saved that night. After they did that, they wanted to get baptized. They wasn't like some of them that's been saved and claimed they're saved. And you'd have to run them down with a Holy Ghost bloodhound, bless God, if you want to baptize them. No, they got baptized the same night. Same night. Philippian jailer in his house. And when he got, and it's midnight when he got saved, brethren, he bathed their stripes and took them and got baptized. I don't know how long that took. Don't know where they baptized him at, where they baptized him in a bathtub, or where they had a hole, or what they had, but he put them all the way under, I guarantee you. Amen. And notice something else. When they got back to the jailer's house, I pitched him and said, fellas, that old jailhouse food ain't much. Since I got saved, let me fix y'all some meat. The Bible said he set meat before. What kind of meat you reckon he put before? I wouldn't have doubted if he hadn't got them straight, don't you reckon? He put some meat before them there. They had meat to eat. And I see Brother Hensley over there. Look at that. Look at that, Brother Hensley. And you'll find out they set meat before them. And they ate that night. Now listen. What time do you reckon they got back at the jailhouse? I said there's some things. See, his stripes, they bathed his stripes. But wait a minute. They went and got baptized that night, brother. And when they got baptized that night, they came back to the jailer's house, the jailer and his wife and family, and then they set meat before them, fixed them some meat. What do you think would cause a Philippian jailer and his family to go through all of that for the preachers? I'll tell you what it was. They got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
They got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The next morning they wanted to let Paul and them go. Paul said, no. Said, we being Romans, and they beat us unjustly, let them come and take us out. When they found out they'd whipped those of Roman citizenship, they come and took them out. So, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me encourage you tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I promise you, you come down this aisle, somebody will take the Bible, help you here tonight, and you get a settle down in your heart and get right with God and leave here. You might say, preacher, I'm a church member. People think I'm lost. Well, I'd rather see whatever they think than to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I was stepped out that night. They had taken me out in a fish pond 12 years old. And I got baptized again after that. But I got saved. I got saved. And then God called me to preach, and I was 26 years old. And I'm glad of that. Let's bow our heads and look to the Lord in prayer. With the heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many in here tonight know you're a child of God? Will you? No one looking around, you know that. You know that. All right? Thank you for taking them down. Now let me ask you this much. You may be here tonight and you couldn't raise that hand. That be so. I don't know what the need might be. Maybe you're out of fellowship with God. If you are, backslid we call it, You won't get saved again, but you can confess your sin to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll renew that fellowship between you and God. He won't save you again. But if you made a false profession and not saved, join the church and not saved, then you better make your peace calling and election sure. And I don't know of no better place than right here in the camp meeting when we give an invitation in a few minutes. Walk down the aisle if you need help. Somebody will help you hit the altar. Whatever the need is, we're going to pray and then we're going to give an invitation. Father in heaven, take the word tonight. Speak to hearts, we pray, Lord. I feel like, Lord, there may be somebody here who needs to get saved. Maybe some here who are cold in their heart. Maybe not on praying ground, not on witnessing ground. Dear God, move tonight in a great way, we pray. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our... You got anything you want to say before we stand and sing? Let's stand to our feet. Here. If you got a pastor or something, I'll tell him he'll be here. Others be around here. You can get right with God tonight. We'll show you right from the Word. Why are we saying? All right, brother, you ready?
Page 498. You ready? Sins, faith toward repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. Sincere repentance, faith working together will save your soul. I guarantee it'll change you. Yet you're worldly and you're indifferent. This evening God spoke to you. Maybe God reminded you how you used to be. You're not like that now. You're indifferent. You're indifferent to the things of God. Are you listening to me? You listen to me back to back. Quit that talking. Listen to me, you young people. Listen to me. The devil's using you. Listen to me this evening. The devil wants you. I guarantee he does. He wants you. He can run your entire family if he gets you. He can hurt you. He can hurt the church. God's spoken to you. Definitely has spoken to you this evening. God's reminded you that you need to get right with him. You ought to hit that aisle right now. Come down the aisle and get right with God. He's all that's worth anything is the Lord. I tell you, if you had this whole wicked world tied up in a neat package with all the gold and all the vice in it that goes with it, it wouldn't be worth dying and going to hell for. It wouldn't be nearly worth what we have in Christ today. Oh, how good it is to be right with God and to be walking with God. not have that indifferent attitude about us. I've sensed it. I have. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I've sensed it. Now, if you're the one I'm talking to this evening, you know it. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would haunt you all night long. Grab you all night long. Wake you up in the wee hours of the morning. Let you look straight up at the ceiling for about 2 hours with Him on you. He does that, you know. I want you to know that happens to you. That's God. That's the way God works. You've got all the time in the world. He can stay right there with you. Hang right on. Wrestle with you all night. He can. He will. God's spoken to you this evening. Before we close that, I plead with you to let the Lord have His way with you this evening. Beckon to the Lord this evening. Oh, if we'd have some people that would be like little Samuel when he was a little boy. Say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Oh, my. Reckon ourselves a servant to the Lord. You need to come. You come this evening. Come on. Boy, these two preachers have preached great messages. God has used those messages. You're here this evening, right now. Your heart's beating rapidly in your breast, and God's speaking to you. God's brought to your attention during the course of the messages this evening your wrongdoings. Your wrongdoings. You need to come right now and ask the Lord to help you, to forgive you, to cleanse you, whatever it might need, whatever you might need, and get it taken care of. This first night of camp meeting, we kick the camp meeting off. Won't you come? Won't you come? Brother Mike, sing one more verse. No one comes. You close the altar.
Life here is grand with friends I love so dear.
You come, come right now.
Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I miss the chilling cannot
not right with God, you know it.
Said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know what he said? He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Not about Him. Believe on Him. Amen. And thou shalt be saved. You want me to tell you how to believe on Him? You ever ride down the road and see a bird sitting on the lake line? Mockingbird, dove, pecking himself, singing. You ever hear about an electrician climbing a pole and touching the thing wrong way while he's on the pole? He doesn't sing like that. Guilty. Part on, part off. He's like a person believing with their head and a heart in the world. When you believe on Him with all of your heart, like that bird sitting on there, it'll happen. It'll happen. You can see it. Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want to leave that with you. All right, Bob.
Amen, Brother Bill. God bless you, brother. Amen. All right. It's been good this evening, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. And our prayer is that God will continue to deal with your heart throughout the evening. And you're in a good place to get right with the Lord. In camp meeting, where the Word of God's preached, and God's people are sincere in what they're doing. Oh, we'll have some that won't be quite sincere as they ought to be. And you're the one we're praying for, that you'll get right with God. And we'll have some religious people here who might have this evening never been saved. Just religious and lost. Won't get you to heaven. I guarantee you it won't. It'll satisfy society as it is, but it won't satisfy the living God. Amen. Someone got a word of testimony before we dismiss this evening? Anybody got a word of testimony? Anybody at all? Yes. Amen, amen. Appreciate that testimony, honey. Somebody else? Got a word of testimony? Yes.
I just thank God for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy and long suffering.
Amen, Brother Terry. Is there another? All right. All right. Wow. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Amen. I haven't either, Brother Bill. I've certainly got tired in it. But I've never gotten tired of it. Yes. Amen. 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 I'm thankful for that too. You got a good one. Amen. Y'all gonna go great guns down there. I just know it. I feel it in my heart, Brother Tommy. Y'all gonna do some things down there. Praise the Lord. Somebody else. All right. I was gonna read my instructions as I read. I'll wait till tomorrow night because I don't have that crowd really. Most of you know them anyway. And tomorrow evening we'll have a lot of different new people coming in and what have you. And we'll give you that. We have some guidelines to go by here on the campground. You see some of them on the sign here. No indecent dress, no use of tobacco. And we have had both of them tried on us. We have. We had a fellow here, a preacher, that was down here smoking in our guest house. Literally smoking in the guest house down here in one of the rooms. And boy, I tell you, I had to get down. I'd get on that. And one of the preachers couldn't hardly believe it happened. And then that same preacher was preaching for a friend of his, and he said, "Man," he said, "you know, that guy was smoking in the bedroom of my house." And so that's pitiful, isn't it? Pitiful, I'm telling you. And so we have to read those things every year to let people know how we stand. Amen? And we've got standards about us, and we're going to uphold them. And you just pray for the camp meeting this week. Pray that God will give us a great meeting. Amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll in the morning the breakfast will be at 8:30, so be there for breakfast. I mean, not in the morning, Tuesday morning. Tomorrow we'll just be having a supper. That'll be at 5:30. Tomorrow evening, and then of course that's when the camp meeting starts. Actually, Monday evening, so we start out with supper at 5:30. Now, after that, Tuesday morning through Thursday, they'll be serving breakfast, dinner, and supper. Amen. Through Thursday. We're looking for a great camp meeting. We are. We got a lot of preachers coming in, a lot of churches coming in, and we'll have this thing packed out tomorrow night. I know it will be. And we'll have a great time. We've had a good day today, though. It's been good, man. We've heard some good preaching today. I'm telling you right now. And great preaching today. And a lot of good fellowship. And it's just, 13 minutes past 9? And now I'll tell you something else we're going to change this week, and I'll have to tell everybody tomorrow night too. We're going to, I think what the ladies are going to do, they're going to just kind of have some desserts out of the evening, you know, so they can clean all that, and not have to clean all that steam table up and get it out of the way so they don't have to be here at 2 o'clock in the morning. Clean that up, have the people eat, and hold that open. They're going to hold that open after. You don't need 4 meals a day anyway. Dear Lord, 3 meals a day is enough for a donkey. And we don't need 4 meals a day. I don't see anybody that looks underfed here. But they'll have, we bought a new popcorn machine. I mean a popcorn popper, a commercial popcorn popper. They'll be popping popcorn, they'll have some desserts out, and some refreshments. I think that'd be plenty enough after the service. That way these ladies can get home, get a little rest. Because they got to be back up here 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And amen. We have a curfew. I won't mention that to you. 12 o'clock curfew. Would that you'd be in your beds, in your rooms. You don't have to be in a bed asleep. But we want to clear out off the grounds and off of the out of the dining hall by 12 o'clock. I think that's a good hour. We have neighbors around here too, you know. I don't think they hear much here. We're pretty secluded the way we're set here. But I don't want to be a nuisance to them either. That's a bad testimony. It is. And if you got children out here running and screaming 1 o'clock in the morning, that's not a good testimony for a church, is it? Amen? Y'all agree with me? Say amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. And if you'd like to stop by for a little fellowship up here, get something to drink. And I don't know where they put everything away or not, but there'll be something there if you nibble on. Amen. We'll have a little fellowship before you go home this evening. Brother Alexander, it's good to have you, brother. God bless your heart. Brother Tom, you got a good man here. He's a good man. Brother Alexander, you dismiss us this evening. Would you please?
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for tonight, God, for the privilege of being able to be here. great preaching of the Word of God, Lord. I pray you lead the rest of the meeting. Even though God is scrambling in, Jim said, traveling worship tomorrow. But nothing will be moderating the meeting. Told God that they've got tests that will be performed all week to keep the meeting flowing and flowing smoothly, Lord. Help us to do everything for your honor and your glory, Lord. Bless our fellowship tonight as we go up to the lodge, dear God, and just bless you. Give us a good night's rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.